from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'd like to wish a very warm Ben and Woods welcome back to you, Darvish. Returning to the mound tonight for your San Diego Padres. Move expected later today to make his first start since the end of May. He returns from the injured list and the restricted list to join the playoff chase. And you, by the way, you may have forgotten.
Me?
No, you, Darvish, has been was having a good season.
It was.
Early in the year. 11 starts, 3.2 ERA. He was throwing the ball well. We'll see if any of that has carried over. The reports from his sessions against his minor leaguers and what he looked like in his bullpen sessions were really largely positive. The kind of spin velocity that you was getting, but obviously that doesn't mean much until you take the mound. And he will do so tonight for your San Diego Padres at 6:40 against right-hander Keydar Montero for the Detroit Tigers. Young guy, 24 years old. His numbers don't stand out. 4-6, 5.17 ERA. However, August was definitely his best month. He had a 3.82 ERA in August. Three of his four wins have come in his last five starts. So he's definitely been pitching better as of late. I would imagine, though, just looking at the numbers and knowing that you is probably going to be on a bit of a pitch count, five innings-ish, going to be kind of a bullpen game. Montero has pretty much been held to in the 80s for his total pitches all season long as a 24-year-old. Looks like they've been pretty conservative with his usage. And the Padres, of course, are good at driving up pitch counts. Yep. So, 85 pitches may only be 4 to 5 innings for a starter when you're going up against the San Diego Padres, which means this game, in all likelihood, will be decided by the bullpens. And with the day off yesterday and what the Padres did at the trade deadline, gives your Padres, I think, a little bit of an advantage in Game 2 of this series.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to be favored, and I'm sure that it will be a fairly heavily favored game tonight.
There'll be some unknowns with Yu's return.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But again, you have a really fresh bullpen. You can go to a long man if you need it. But it'll be interesting to see how they manage it. And you talk about them driving
ESPN up. The Padres is heavy favorite.
Heavy favorite.
Heavy.
You talk about them driving up pitch counts. It's funny because they do and they don't. They'll have those games where you look up and Miles Michaelis has 60 pitches through 7. And you're like, what is happening? But they don't K, right? That's the thing is, like, they don't K. They put the ball in play. They're not striking out a ton. They're not super patient, but I will say
they drive up pitch counts pretty good for a team that doesn't strike out and walk a ton.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what they do, and Arise, obviously, I think Profar is really good at this. They spoil pitches
well.
They
spoil a ton of pitches.
Like two strike pitches, Jake does it well. Throw the bat out. Manny can do it even.
They
stand up there. Xander can do it. It's like it's a 1-2 count, and they'll sit there for four pitches and go, yeah, it's about an inch off, but I'll just you know, into the crowd, into the crowd. It must be very, I think it's very frustrating to face the Padres.
It's like the worst, man. Yeah. A team like that, that just, you know, they don't swing at the pitches they're supposed to, that nasty changeup down and away. And if they do swing at it, they spoil it and they wait for you to make a mistake. Their offensive approach has been great all season long. One of the best, Ben, that I've ever seen. And they've stuck to it. They've really never gone outside the plan. So tonight, if they're swinging early in the counts and they're, you know, Randy roll over to short, don't be mad. Don't be upset. This is what's gotten them to where they are right now. They are playing that game and they're doing it really well. The other thing they'll do is they'll have those innings, Benny, where pitchers kind of cruising, you know, 8, 9, 10. They had a 4-pitch inning the last game. And I'm like, was that 4 pitches? I barely blinked. But what they will do, then they'll find that inning where they're able to stretch it out to 30. You know what I mean? They string a couple hits together, and then guys start fouling pitches off, and that's how they usually get it up. It's not a fast. They don't do it quickly. It could take some time, 4 or 5 innings. We've seen where they've scored the most of their innings or their runs this year. That's in like the 7th inning. So these guys are grinders, man, and they're going to stick to the approach that's been working for them.
I want to add to that. First, we need a contestant for Take on Woods. We're going to play our game here in about 3 or 4 minutes. If you want to call in, chance to qualify for our new grand prize, 2-night stay at the Wynn or Encore Las Vegas. Give us a call now for our musical trivia challenge against Woodsy. Yeah, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Call in and play right now. So lots has been written and discussed about the Padres' approach under Victor Rodriguez and Mike Schilt at the plate this season. But what has really been impressive is that they stuck with it, even when they weren't necessarily getting the results.
Yeah.
And I think that, to me, is the biggest difference between the 2024 Padres and the 2023 Padres.
Stubbornness.
Last year, they did not have that stubbornness to stick with whatever they were doing.
There's no buy-in.
There wasn't.
There was no buy-in. None whatsoever. And they didn't have buy-in the year before.
It's hard. It's easy to create buy-in when you're winning,
though. Yeah.
That's easy.
It's
anyway,
hard to do.
You and I could manage a team that's winning and get them to buy in, because
no doubt
everyone likes winning.
Yep.
The hardest part of managing and coaching is to get a team to buy in when they're not seeing the results that they want to see. And
it's
that's
the hardest.
The first half of the Padres season, they weren't bad, but they certainly weren't, like, there was no guarantee that things were going to get better. They were muddling around 500. It was okay. But it could have been a time where, hey, why don't we try something different?
Yeah.
This isn't working. And they didn't do that.
They didn't. They really, really stuck to their guns. And you ask any athlete, if they learn, you know, golfers do this all the time. I got to rework my entire swing. And, oh, I'm getting results on the range. Oh, I didn't really get them in the tournament. Well, what does the human condition tell you to do? Well, I got to go back to when I was winning tournament. I have to. No, no, this is the better plan. This is a better swing. Baseball players, hitters do it all. Cal Ripken used to have 4 different stances for 4 different ABs. It worked for him. Most guys, if they believe in the system, if they believe in what they're doing, even if they're not getting the results, you have to stay stubborn. You stick to it. And look, it's worked out in their favor.
And the biggest beneficiary of that plan, and whether it was the coaches or just himself, to me has been Jurickson Profar.
Yeah.
Who has been steady Eddie, has not changed, and hopefully, even though he has been slumping a little bit, don't change.
Bro, just those walks, the 6 walks or whatever.
Stick with your plan.
He's sticking with his plan.
Don't change what you're doing. The approach has been working, and the Padres, as you said, they have bought into Mike Schilt, bought into Victor Rodriguez, and they're reaping the benefits now to that faith, that early belief that wasn't necessarily...
It wasn't rooted in results.
Backed up by results early, but they kept with it, and now they are reaping the benefits of it late in the season.
No question. They've been a joy to watch. They've been a joy to watch their approaches this
year. And it's an approach that flies in the face of a lot of modern baseball analytical strategy of home runs and walks and swing for the fences, and it's okay to strike out a ton. And the Padres zagged when other teams... we're zigging, and that can be a dangerous place to be, because when you're on an island and it doesn't work out well, you look stupid. When things don't work well and you're doing something different, you look stupid. And no one likes to look stupid, especially ball players on television every single night, but they risked it. They risked doing something different, and now they're getting the benefits of that.
Yeah, no question. No question. It's been crazy to see them stick to it this long, man. And, you know, like that, like I said, we don't know how it's going to all shake out, but they've been really committed to what they've been doing this year, been very intentional about it, as Mike Schilt likes to say all the time. It's worked for them. So they got to just keep it rolling.
All right, we got some callers on the line. Let's get to it. It is time for today's game of Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods. Take
on Woods. Take on Woods.
Well, let's go with Nick. Are you there? Line two?
I'm here.
He's there. All right, Nick, you are a contestant today on Take on Woods. It is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Here's what you are playing for. If you can beat or tie Woods in our five-question musical trivia challenge, you will be entered into our grand prize drawing for September, a two-night stay at the Wynn or Encore Las Vegas, and two tickets to Awakening, a thrilling spectacle at Wynn Las Vegas. Tickets are on sale now at awakening.com. To give you an advantage, because Woodsy's quite good at this, we let you pick the category, keep him in the dark. So here are your choices, Nick. We got Asian Nation, five song titles that feature a single word ending in A-T-I-O-N, Asian. We got Little Shop of Horrors, song titles or musical artists beginning with the word little. And our new category today is Reptiles, five song titles and artists with a reptile in their name. So, Asian Nation, Little Shop of Horrors, or Reptiles, Nick?
Let's go Reptiles.
Reptiles, okay. Again, today on Take on Woods, it's five song titles or artists with a reptile in their name. Hopefully you know your biology enough to know what a reptile is, and you know your music enough to get as many of the five right as possible. You'll have 60 seconds. If you don't know an answer, say pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question, the two-second song. Polly is queuing up now. You need to give me that title and the artist, one of which will have a reptile in the name. Nick, are you ready to play?
Let's do it.
Paul, you queued up?
I'm ready.
All right, he's ready. All right, 60 seconds on the clock. The category is reptiles. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Nick. Let's take on Woods.
Bad.
Singer David Coverdale has been the front man for which English hard rock band since 1978, delivering hits including Is This Love and Here I Go Again.
Pat.
Red, gold, and green are the colors Boy George sings about in which 1984 number one hit for Culture Club.
Karma Chameleon?
Correct. Fans of which prolific modern-day Australian rock band consider themselves part of the Gizverse and attend the yearly Gizfest?
Pat.
Which American band reached number one on the charts with 1967's Happy Together, the iconic song of unrequited love?
Pat.
Go back to our two-second song.
Pat.
Singer David Coverdale has been the frontman of which English hard rock band since 1978?
Whitesnake?
Correct. Red, gold, and green are the colors Boy George sings about. All right, you got two. You got Whitesnake, and you got Karma Chameleon. You did not get our two-second song. It was Crocodile Rock by Elton John. The Gizverse. Pauly, do you know the Gizverse?
I do now.
That's King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. And then Happy Together is the Turtles. I don't know. I think Woods is going to win this one. Maybe 3-2, maybe 4-2. See how he does. Hang on the line, Nick. You never know. I've been surprised before. See if he can figure out the category. It's always fun. All right. Nick's score is locked in. Woodsy joins us now. No category for him. 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Nick.
Pass.
Singer David Coverdale has been the front man for which English...
Whitesnake.
Correct. Red, gold, and green are the colors Boy George sings about in which 1984 number one hit for Culture Club.
Pass.
Fans of which prolific modern-day Australian rock band consider themselves part of the Gizverse and attend the yearly Gizfest?
What? is killing me. Pass.
Which American band reached number one on the charts with 1967's Happy Together, the iconic song of unrequited love?
The Turtles?
Correct. Go back to our 2 second song.
I have no idea. Now go to the next one.
All right. Red, gold, and green are the colors Boy George red, sings gold, about in which 1984 number one hit for Culture Club?
Do you really want to hurt me?
No. Fans of which prolific modern day Australian rock band consider themselves part of the Gizverse
modern day
and attend the yearly Giz Fest?
Modern day prolific Australian band.
Wow. Yes. Wow. That's a 2-2 score. Dick, you did it. You tied. Whoa. Woods.
I think it was Nick.
Nick.
Yeah, you said Dick.
Nick.
You said Dick. You
Nick
did it.
I said Nick. You did
Polly,
it.
Pull it. You said Dick. You did it.
I heard a D.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
all
Richard,
right, hold on.
You also did it.
Give me the category.
Reptiles.
All right. The first one, I have no idea.
Yes, you do.
What is it?
Come on.
I don't know what that is. Oh, it's Crocodile Rock.
Yes.
Elton John.
All right. Elton John. Okay. Got White Snake. Now what's the Culture Club hit with a reptile in the name? Red, gold, and green. Red, gold, and green. I'm a...
Karma Chameleon. Karma.
And then okay. The Gizverse is our friends, King Gizzard and
King
the Lizard.
Gizzard and the Lizard
Wizard. The Gizverse.
Ben thought that that was made up when we did our
we
old
did.
Coachella lineup.
Gizfest. What, 3 or 4 years ago?
I didn't know they were
Coachella
Australian.
Lineup. They're Australian, yeah.
I thought you were going to get that one for sure.
The Gizverse.
Giz or
Giz? Giz Fest.
King Gizzard. GIF or GIF?
No, this one's definitely Giz.
Giz.
The Gizverse.
Of course, I get the White Snake one because I love White
I
Snake.
I knew you'd get White Snake. I was pretty sure you'd get Crocodile Rock. That one surprised me. That's
I think
pretty...
that the category would have helped me.
Probably.
Everyone says that King Gizzard is amazing. I've listened to maybe one song. Maybe we'll come back with some.
All right, Nick, stand the line. Paul, you'll get your information. And you will be in the drawing for that's two in a row to start the month.
Just ties.
Ties.
Ties,
yeah,
not a loss.
That's not a loss, but we got two qualifiers.
Huge soccer guy. That's a win.
So. Everyone goes home happy.
Yeah,
after
everyone's
a tie.
Happy. 0-0 draw.
So we get qualifiers for Las Vegas.
Well,
works for everybody. All right, we'll come back. Woodsy's got something in Don't Do This For, as you said, from the Pirates game.
I mean, absolute ump show. Again,
oh,
yesterday.
I did see
again,
this.
Again, what is your problem, Doug
Eddings?
I did
see this.
If you were at Wrigley Field yesterday, I'm glad you got to pay money to go watch Doug Eddings do his thing. God.
That is coming up next with Ben and Woods after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fam.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Then it's time for Don't Do This, a little DDT. Get to our special guest in studio in just a second. Woodsy, why don't you lead us off? I saw
you
what
lead
happened.
Us off.
You want me to lead us off? I don't know. Paulie's got to cue mine up.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Is he ready?
I got it.
Oh, he's got it? All right. So this one is just for you, Woods, because I know what a big fan you are of one Eli Manning in particular, and especially his participation in the Manning cast,
so
which
somebody,
is back.
Somebody tagged me in this yesterday.
Did you see it? Okay.
No, no. They tagged me in it. I did not hit open.
They're back again, what, third season of Peyton and Eli on their alternate Monday Night Football broadcast. And I think Bill Belichick's going to be part of the show, at least for the first half of the season.
The dynamic Bill Belichick.
Yes. They're in full promotion mode right now. And they pulled out all the stops to promote the Manning cast this year. Coming out with a 10-plus minute YouTube video musical yesterday.
You're literally combining all of the
I know.
If they did it while
I think they're actually doing this just to annoy you.
If they did it while they were also in a parade, that would be the
trifecta.
Well,
they're on stage. I mean, they got a stage. They have a cast of cameo appearances in this 10-minute Manning cast video. And why don't we just listen to a little bit of it and you can
our playing days are over.
Your ears can bleed.
Now what do we do? I don't know, I wish we had a good idea.
From beating up Tom to full-time Mr. Mom.
Folks make fun of your head, sell ad space there instead.
Like to make Manning face, market some Manning face maze.
You know insurance rates, but can you win a debate?
No, these aren't right for me.
And I just want to watch TV.
That's it.
It is?
Not a standard broadcast.
We'll do a Manning cast.
Something good that will last.
Or just a Manning cast.
Top of the ratings and
fast.
He's the worst.
Who's worse?
Eli. Miles and Miles. He's the Jack Harlow of acting.
Peyton has
a little something.
He has a little charm.
A little bit. Eli,
he can make me laugh sometimes.
He is a noodle.
When he goes with Brad Paisley and does the jingle back and forth, I kind of chuckle a little bit. Peyton can pull it off. Mm. Eli cannot. I've come around to your way of thinking
He's just not good, man. He's not good. Hi, Peyton. Oh, it just kills me.
That was
kills
rough.
Me. Yeah, that was their, that's their intro. Right,
that was, it's a long teaser.
They're not
going to
be doing.
No, they're not going to sing.
Right.
It's going to be the same Manning cast they've done, plus Bill Belichick. And
not a standard broadcast.
We'll do a Manning cast.
So bad, really dude. Bad. All right, I will. We will go out to yesterday to Chicago, the friendly confines of Wrigley Field, where Pirates pitcher Paul Skeens, who I like. I do like Paul Skeens. I like Jackson Merrill more. Was pitching yesterday and was pitching okay and thought he had strike three. He threw a two-seamer, Ben, that was chalked. It was chalked again. It was on the white line.
Well outside.
Catcher, I thought, did a really, really nice job, though, of bringing it back. It 100% looked like strike three. Had me fooled. So Paul Skeens does the thing. He throws. And then pretty sure it's strike three, so he kind of hops off the mound. His adrenaline's going, and he takes two steps off of the road. He'd never even touched grass. We see that all the time. We see it. There's a couple guys on the Padres that will do it. They'll throw one and start. Oh, Michael King. Michael King does it all the time. That two-seamer he throws, that lane changer,
yep.
He starts to hop off the mound.
Last start, he was angry at the umpire. He said,
stay with it.
Stay with it. You're getting fooled by it, but it's crossing the plate.
So, again, Skeens does what every single pitcher in the big leagues does. And does the 1-2 hop. Still, does not touch the grass. Doug Eddings takes major exception to it. Rips his mask off, says something to Skeens. Skeens just smiles and is like, what? Next thing you know, he rips his mask off. He starts walking over to Derek Shelton. I love Paul Skeens. Walking over to Derek Shelton, Pirates manager, says to him, essentially, he started to walk off the mound like he thinks it's a strike. You talk to him. And Derek Shelton goes, I'll talk to you, and just dropped the hammer on him. It was unbelievable. I mean, Doug Eddings is just losing his mind.
Again, ump show, I'm not a fan of the ump show.
It's rookie hazing.
But it's a rookie thing,
I
mean, if he doesn't want to treat any other rookie, Paul Skeens may be a superstar rookie, but he still gets the rookie treatment. And even umpires know who's a rookie out there.
But the funny thing is, it's not
you can do that if you're a 10-year veteran.
The funny thing is,
and I'll ignore it. But if you're a rookie, don't show me up as an umpire. Make me look bad.
He didn't say a word. He smiled. He literally smiled. That's all he did. And Doug Eddings rips his mask off, blah, blah, starts barking at him, then starts barking at the Pirates. Like, again, you are the arbiter.
But when you do that, when you're Skeens and you do that,
you smile.
And you're wrong,
you can't smile.
And you start walking off the mound, you're showing up the umpire and saying,
you can't smile.
I think you're wrong.
You can't smile?
You're making him look bad.
He didn't say, can you show up an umpire? You can show up an umpire by, he just smiled, grabbed the ball, and started to toe the slab. I feel like I'm defending Paul Skeens too much.
I feel like I'm defending Paul Eddings, Doug Eddings too much.
I love Paul Skeens. You are. And then he's pointing and jawing. You go talk to him. I mean, give me a break, dude. Come on. Nobody paid to see Doug Eddings out there enforcing the unwritten rules.
But he was right. It was a ball.
It was a ball.
It was a ball. He made the right call.
Yeah. He never opened his mouth. He just nodded. He kind of smiled and nodded. I don't know. Eddings sucks.
And if
he
gets, Ben was such an umpire apologist.
I didn't really know that either.
I didn't really realize.
I just don't love Paul Skeens the way Woods does.
I love Paul Skeens. That's true. Do you love Paul Skeens?
Not giving him a pass.
Don't get me wrong. I love Paul Skeens.
I love Paul Skeens.
He has some videos on Instagram that I lie in bed at night and
what
I show myself.
What kind of videos are these?
The motivational videos. There's no good reason to not believe in yourself.
Is this an OnlyFans? Does he have an OnlyFans? What do you got going here?
There's no good reason not to believe in yourself, says Paul Skeens. And now let's do some doo-doo this.
DD mega doo-doo.
Ladies and gentlemen, the day has arrived. All the way from across the pond, our beloved Welsh Fryer is in studio. Good morning, my friend.
What's up, guys?
How are you?
It's amazing to be here. It's so nice here.
You weren't faking that accent at all.
No, he's wow.
That was actually real.
What if we found out he's from Kansas and this has been a bit the whole time? Like, you're not really Welsh.
He just walks in. Hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all. I got him.
I could still be putting on the accent. Who knows?
You could.
Oh, that's true.
Cool. Welcome to the States. You are our doo-doo this for the day. Everyone's very excited to have you. It's like having a Beatle in here, Welsh Fryer.
Yeah. If they were English and he's Welsh, it's a different country entirely.
Who's the best band from Wales, in your opinion? Do you know many rock bands from Wales?
You heard of Catfish in the Bottom?
I have. I love Catfish in the Bottom. Yeah, they're great.
They're from North Wales. Yeah.
Are they back together?
Yeah, heard of Catfish and the Bottlemen.
Have you?
No.
What about Stereophonics? Do you know them?
Yeah,
one of my favorites.
Awesome. Love them. They're great.
We play them on some bumper music as well. Well, welcome to the States, my friend. We're going to have a good time in here today. And
Catherine Zeta-Jones as well.
Catherine Zeta-Jones. Oh, that's got to be...
Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought he was British.
I did too.
Yeah.
Welsh, huh?
I would think that you're British as well, hearing you talk.
Yeah, I don't really have the Welsh accent. I hate it. I wish I did, but I don't.
You wish you had the Welsh accent?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why don't you?
I live really close to the border.
Okay. All right.
So
makes sense.
I've kind of got the English twang.
That's why we all sound somewhat Mexican, because we live close to the border here.
Bonnie Tyler's from Wales. Tom Jones, I knew that. Well, it's good to have you, buddy. Hang out. We got some interviews coming up, and we'll shoot the breeze
with you. What was that Catherine Zeta movie, Jones movie with... Sean Connery. Yeah, they were like criminal thieves.
When she has to do the under the lasers.
Yes.
What the hell was that?
Entrapment? I think that was Entrapment.
I think that's Entrapment.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I need to revisit that.
And that's Don't and Do Do This for a Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, now that Welsh is here, we have all of our guests starting in our next segment with Adam Jones on a Big League Wednesday. We'll introduce him to Welsh when we come back on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Don't forget, you can always listen to Sam Levitt's podcast, Inside San Diego Baseball. Sam covering everything going on with the Padres. Just find it at 97.3thefansd.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. We're in studio. We got Welsh Fryer here, and we got Adam Jones standing by from some far-flung location. We will get to him right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. California, yeah. And with that, we say good morning, or maybe good afternoon, depending on where he is, to the five-time All-Star Adam Jones. Still in Barcelona, Adam?
Yes, I am still home in Barcelona. I'm enjoying it. My son started his football training this week, and it is intense. 3 practices a week. I think it's a bit much for an 8-year-old, but what a lot.
Wait, you're in Spain. And now, do you mean football, or do you mean football?
Football.
I mean football.
Oh, football.
Yeah, okay. Football.
Okay.
Football, yes.
3 practices a week.
Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. But Wednesday today, they were supposed to have a running practice, and it got canceled because it rained all day. So I'm not mad at it.
And do you go, as a dad, do you go and watch, arms folded, all of the practices?
I go to as many practices as I can.
Yeah.
But here's the cool part about it. Out here, they have full facilities where, I mean, it's like an actual league and things like that. It's professional or whatever they call it out here. And there's a big, nice, beautiful bar. And all the parents are sitting there having beers or products. And if you don't have one, you look like a loser.
That's amazing.
So what do you think I did? I partake in these things. And my wife, she's the one over there sitting there, arms folded. And I'm mingling with the Spanish, having a good time, enjoying it.
Can you imagine if, like, at every Pop Warner, every Little League game, they just had a bar right there for the parents while they're waiting around to practice?
Well, most
make a fortune.
Most of the parents are already drunk. They all bring booze in their big tumblers.
That's true, too.
Drinking wine. And trust me, I coach. I see it all the time. But, like, I'll tell you this. Americans couldn't handle it. I'll tell you that right now. Go to a baseball game.
Course.
I mean, Americans could not handle a bar at a. They're not going to go and have 2 beers. They already beat up umpires out at Little League fields. I can't even imagine what it would be like.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but you've seen English soccer fans get out of control. It's not only an American thing.
Yeah, bro, but that's professionals. We're talking Little League. He's 8 years old. They had a bar out there. It ain't going to work. They're going to beat the crap out of a referee or something, man. When will you be back in the States, my friend?
I'm looking. I'm watching the major league games right now, as everybody else is, and I'm following what's going on. Obviously, the Padres are in line to be in the wild card game right now, unless they get real hot and the Dodgers hit a cold spell. But I'm just following. I think my schedule with MLB allows me to try to be in multiple places at once.
Nice.
So hopefully, I can get the assignment of you guys. But at the same time, the Orioles, who are in first place currently right now. They're either going to be in first place or playing in the wild card, so I'm following them also. So it's just a matter of who win, what, why, where. But I'm going to be somewhere in the States probably towards October.
We're obviously pretty fired up. Obviously, you know, the Padres doing well already, and then Joe Musgrove comes back. He's been throwing great. Tatis just came back on Monday, and now today they get Yu Darvish back. Whatever you do at the trade deadline, no one's picking up 3 players like that down the stretch. That's huge for the Padres.
Big time. And, you know, obviously it's unfortunate that those players missed significant time. But at the same time, the team played well, and, you know, you credit those guys who performed well in the absences of your 3 big stars. So you just credit those guys who stepped up and filled in the void. But, again, like I've said many times, when you get a guy back, you know, that's been 2 months out of the game, and been 2 months on the injury list or something like that, and you're able to get him in August or in September, that's the same thing as a trade. That is, if the morale comes back, you get a guy who's probably been away from the team a little bit, probably been down on the spring training site, getting himself prepared as best as possible for the scenario, and, you know, you get him back, and, you know, it's fun. It's real fun, and like I said, with Musgrove, with Tatis, and Darvish tonight, like that is, you know, 3 all-stars right there. So I think, again, it's up to the Padres. Everything's in front of them. You know, you win, you take care of yourself. If you lose, you know what happens. So everything's really in front of them, and it's up to them at this point to really put forth and see what happens.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to be counting on anybody else. We're still watching the scoreboard. You know, you're hoping Boston beats the Mets, and you're hoping, you know, the Giants are able to beat the Diamondbacks, Adam. But it is nice to be in that position where you don't need it necessarily. You win your games, you're going to be fine. I mean, that's what every player, you know, begs for. You're in control of your own destiny. You don't need help from 3 or 4 different teams to back into the playoffs or anything like that. Let me ask you this about Tatis. What was the longest stretch you were ever out, injured, you know, in season and came back?
I missed my first in 08. It was the only time I was on the DL. I missed 1 month, all August. On my birthday, I broke my cuneiform, a navicular, fouled the ball off my foot, and missed the rest of the month. I played the rest of the game, but I missed the rest of the month, and I came back September 1st. Definitely shouldn't have, but I was 23, and you know that old saying for those young kids, pee and vinegar. I don't want to use the other derogatory word, but that was me. You know, I wanted to be back on the field. Obviously, I didn't have $300 million invested in me to where they probably took 6 to 8 PET scans or CAT scans to see if my foot was fully healed. But I was eager to be out there, and I know Tatis is eager to be out there. But he has such a large investment. You take your time. They're like, could he have been back, you know, 2 weeks earlier? Maybe. But was there a rush? I don't think so. Peralta, again, like I said, the guys that are filling in, Peralta's filled in, I think, very well.
He's going to
be a very strong bat off the bench coming down the stretch. So, you know, it's just everybody wants to be on the field as much as possible. But the reality of it is, it's just it's not possible. And, you know, you have to be healthy. You got to be healthy. You can play hurt, but you can't play injured. I think that's the thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, some guys get injured. Again, we're all hurt. Everybody's beat up. That's just part of it. If you're in this point in the season and you're standing, you're hurt. Something's barking. But you just got to fight through it and, you know, put yourself in and learn how to handle yourself not feeling good. I think that most people know how to handle themselves feeling great. A lot of people don't know how to handle themselves not feeling 100%. And
yeah.
In sports. And in life, hell, you don't wake up every morning feeling 100% all just some mornings you wake up groggy, some of you tired, your back hurt, your feet hurt. So you just got to figure out how to deal with it. Athletes obviously on a different stage because everybody's watching, but we're human. We figure out how to deal with not being 100%.
Well, and every player is different, obviously, but for Tatis, you know, they sent him down to the complex and he took some ABs off some minor leaguers and they're like, we're ready to go. He says he's ready, comes back. I mean, look, it's his first game, takes an 0-for-4, does move some runners over, picked us up a run late in the game in a tight one, certainly. You know, he's amped up. You know, he's swinging out of his shoes. How long did it take you when you get back to feel comfortable in the box after being out for a month?
Well, it was so long ago. Honestly, it was my first month, so I really didn't. I was 23. I'm eager to get back into the box. I'm batting, you know, eighth. I'm batting eighth, ninth when I was with the Orioles back then. I'm not a focal point in the lineup. So the pressure on me, and especially in 08 when we lost probably 95 games, it's definitely not in. It wasn't a focal point. So it was. I think my situation is definitely different. I think someone like Manny's situation, when he came back from having his two surgeries when we were there, when I was there with him in Baltimore, him, you know, I think his surgeries going into the offseason made it easier for him just to start spring training, made it normal. I think in-season injuries are a little different because you're going to catch somebody in a completely different mental state than you did 2 months prior just based on everything that they're doing. And, you know, it takes a while to get your groove back in the major leagues, but having him in that lineup scares the living hell out of everybody, especially on your opponents. So I would take him in the lineup, not swinging the bat as well, because obviously he's one of the best defenders in the game.
100%.
I would take him in that lineup, you know, over most people, just because obviously he's a fantastic player.
Talking to Adam Jones, and I'm glad you brought up Manny. I was about to bring him up myself because, speaking of injuries, he obviously wasn't healthy to start the season, but he was out there because Manny plays hurt. You can't play injured, but Manny plays hurt more than probably just about anybody in baseball. And now he's gotten healthier, and his numbers have come back. He's putting together a great second half of the season. Now, Manny does not talk about his injuries. Very rarely will you hear anything. In fact, that's kind of a code among baseball players and professionals. You don't talk about injuries. The team doesn't talk about injuries. But my question is, Adam, is that doing a disservice to everybody not to be more upfront about it? Going, I mean, you had people going, is Manny washed the first half of the season? Is this it? Have they given him this contract and he's not coming back?
He quit.
But obviously he wasn't himself. He was trying to get out there or, you know, as soon as he could to help the team. And now that he's gotten healthy, he's Manny again. But no one says anything about this because there's this big code. We don't talk about injuries. How do you feel about that as a professional athlete?
He learned correctly. You don't talk about it. Hey, Belichick it, man. I don't need to tell y'all everything that's going on with me. You don't need to know. The fans on this, unfortunately, it's like you guys don't need to know everything. You don't. You don't. You pay for the price of admission, therefore you're paying for that. You're not paying for the you're not paying for the behind the scenes information. You do have to understand that. You're not. The only people that are paying for that, nobody.
The owner.
The owner.
The owner.
The owner.
Yeah.
Well, the owner, obviously, he knows everything.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, he paid for everything. But it's like, I don't know what it's, I mean, fans, I think they believe they are entitled to know everything that's going on with, I'm not privy to that because we, as a society, don't know everything about everybody's job. I think it's, you know, in the industry, when they do an injury report, it is sent out, everybody knows it, especially in the industry, but what, you want the fans to be able to see or know that this guy got ice and stem before the game today?
Right.
Or does it matter that he played? Or since he got ice and stem, you're going to have a perception that since he struggled today, maybe he didn't, maybe he was sore. Or if he's hot and he had a bad, and he's been dealing with a bad back, but you don't know that. Like, it just, there's guys right now that are swinging it. I bet Aaron Judge is probably doesn't feel 100%. Now he looks like he feels 100%. But just being an athlete, you can't feel 100%. Something's barking on him. But I've never been a believer that the fans need to, are entitled to all the information inside that clubhouse. That's why it's a clubhouse.
Well, I agree with you. I'm just wondering, is it sometimes a disservice to the players
when
they're so secretive and all of a sudden we find out a year later, oh, you know, Manning's numbers were down that year. Well, we never told anybody. We was playing through this and
broken
this and
back,
that and that the whole year long.
That's every single sport. But I always say that great players deal with it. The great players always be great. Manny knows how to play hurt. He knows how to look at it. If this is barking on me, I got to do this. If this is barking, I got to do this. And especially being a veteran, and when you're a veteran and you have comfort, this is also a part of it. When you have comfort to having a contract, you're allowed to not have to take batting practice every day. You're allowed to just play the game and sort of speak. Like, you don't have to every single day go out there and take fly balls and take do the work, I should say, because it's already been ingrained in. Like, if Manny's arm is hurting, he's not going to be out there throwing. Now, he might go out there and take some ground balls just to get the feel, just to be out there and be loose, but he'll save his bullets for the game. And again, that's just how it works. You cope with what's going on. And again, I know fans want to know, you know, you see the guy dealing with this and that, and you know, is he struggling? Why is he struggling? And is his shoulder? Is his neck? And it's unfortunately it's a country club, and the price of admission is very, very difficult. Not even expensive. It's just difficult.
Adam, thank you very much. What's your fantasy football situation? One team, multiple teams? What are you doing?
So we got a team. I got two teams right now, and I just hope that, again, everybody stays healthy. The season starts on Thursday with the Ravens versus the Chiefs. And I got friends in all the sports, as I tell them all the time. That it's just, you know, hopefully you guys just stay healthy and have the best years you possibly can. Obviously, everybody wants their fantasy team to win and all this and all this. I'm most excited for January or December, whenever people have to pay up and they have to do those weird things, like serve somebody in a barista outfit or things like that. So
we don't actually.
And have fun.
Our league, we don't have the announced punishment yet, do we?
No, and I don't want to do any bets.
Not really. Hey, Adam, thank you very much. Have a good week.
Cart girl,
yeah, that bit. Everything's tired.
Hey, if
right
I get
now
out to the golf course, at least
that's fine.
You know,
that's
not the worst thing in the world.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate you,
Adam Jones, 5-time All-Star, joining us each and every week on a Big League Wednesday. Of course, we'll also have Brett Boone going to join us coming up in our 8 o'clock hour at 8:30, and then at 9 o'clock this morning. Stay tuned. Jesse Agler, a special Wednesday appearance after he had the day off yesterday with the Padres. I'll have the Incorporator and Jesse joining us at 9 o'clock today as the Padres get ready to continue their series against the Detroit Tigers at 6:40 tonight.
Saw a fantasy football punishment. It was you can pick the bar, but you have to post up in a bar for, I think it was 8 hours, minimum of 6 drinks, and you have to just spend your day there, and you're going to get
How's that punishment?
I mean,
sitting at a bar having cocktails sounds, watching sports sounds amazing.
Sounds kind of lonely and expensive.
You just have to go by yourself?
Oh, yeah. You got to just post up for
That's
8 hours.
That's a dream, dude. That's an absolute. Oh, no. I would stop setting my lineup. Babe, I lost. Well, what's the punishment? You're never going to believe this. I got to go down to the Lucanian, and I got to sit there for 8 hours and have drinks. Can you pick me up?
Watch sports.
Dave,
no
she
one
looks,
bothering
she
me.
She looks at my account. I haven't set a lineup in weeks. I'm 0-12, 0-16.
Are you sure that's not first prize?
That's literally first prize. Good Lord. That sounds amazing.
All right, we'll come back. Second half of Ben and Woods on the way.
I got one-upped by the Padres CEO.
Oh, you did?
Got me again.
Next on
Unbelievable.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.